Welcome back to the Book of Daniel, chapter 1 today, and I'm sure some of you are wondering, when do we get to the Sunday school classics? Those fixtures of flannel graph, those ventures of VeggieTales, the fiery furnace, and the lion's den. The stories that made us dream, made us aspire to be something, to do something great for God. Before you can be, you have to become. Chapter 1 is about becoming. So what do you think? Where does character begin? Where do courage and integrity take root? We opened our story last time with four young Israelites taken captive in the siege of Jerusalem, now trekking to Babylon, from religious hypocrisy to worldly heathens, with 4 long months to ponder it. And as they enter the city gates at last, the sight they behold is like nothing they ever imagined. Babylon's double walls are legendary, staggeringly tall and wide enough for chariots up top. And as they enter, the city inside shines with the spoils and tribute of countless conquered kingdoms. Lord knows what lies ahead for our heroes. Then again, is he still Lord here? You're a long way from Kansas, Daniel. And in verse 3, a twist of fate. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Well, what do you make of that? King Nebuchadnezzar has a strategy. Not every prisoner need become slave. He will make good use of the exceptional ones, the best and the brightest. And in verse 6, among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so we meet our heroes. Their future has just taken quite the turn. They're headed to school, learning the Babylonian languages, Akkadian and Aramaic, and the literature. Time for indoctrination. If you want to serve, you learn our ways. But notice the perks. Food and wine from the king's table, the good stuff, and 3 years of training, watch the words, to enter the king's service. Don't miss that phrase. Our boys have a dilemma. Which king will they serve? They were raised with the knowledge that God is above every king, and yet they learned that truth from hypocrites. Now all the power is in the hands of a new king, and this king calls for their service. And the job comes with benefits. The best food in the land. Just one little hiccup. The king's food isn't kosher. The Jews have food laws. Can't eat it. So what do you do? Yet the Babylonians are determined to change the way these boys think. In verse 7, the chief official gave them new names, new identity. You're one of us now. Daniel meant God is my judge. Belteshazzar means Prince of Bel, not to be confused with Bel Air. Bel is a title for Marduk, Babylon's chief god. Ashpenaz wants Daniel to know his new god, and his three friends with him. Hananiah, Yahweh is gracious, now Shadrach, command of Aku, the moon god. Mishael, who is like God, now Meshach, who is like Shaq O'Neal? Kidding, of course, but a valid question. It means, who is like Aku? And Azariah, Yahweh has helped. Now Abednego, servant of Nego, Babylonian god of wisdom. Every time they heard their name called, would remind them, your god lost. You serve our gods now. You serve the king. And I gotta believe there's a real temptation here to just fit in. Babylon offers belonging, an opportunity to change sides, join the winners. All of this is about identity. The chief official is skilled at the craft of training loyal servants, and nothing is more powerful in a young man's life than who he believes himself to be. That's true in your life, too. Many are those who would offer you a new identity, and sometimes that identity comes with perks. Always be aware of their motives. Always count the cost. Which brings us back to the dilemma of the king's table. New names are old. Our boys have a decision to make. It feels like the whole world has turned against God. And this choice? It's just food. They're so far from home. A home full of hypocrites. Sure, they ate kosher, they prayed, but it was all show. Isaiah had it right. They honored God with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. Now everything feels far from God. So what should they do? Verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Verse 8 may seem small in the Bible's grand story. Certainly anyone skipping to find answers wouldn't stop here. And in the endless saga of kingdoms overthrowing kingdoms, no one would think to stop upon the story of a few teenage kids making a decision about food of all things. Do not be fooled by its commonplace appearance. This is no ordinary verse. It once changed the course of a young man's life. Which brings us back to the great question. What does it take to change a life? Watch carefully. For Daniel, it started with conviction. Doing this isn't right. Maybe right for them, but not for us. I'm sure many felt conviction, but Daniel followed it with decision. A more literal translation says, he purposed in his heart. Forget the hypocrites, forget the heathens. Just do right by God. The life changer isn't the food. It's the heart. Like so many things, it is not what is outside, but what is inside that counts. Daniel has given his heart direction. And as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And remember what Jesus said, those who are faithful with little will be faithful with much. Never underestimate the importance of a small ethical decision made by a youth. And Daniel is not alone. His three friends join him. Now the official likes these kids, but he's scared. The king will have my head. So Daniel proposes a deal in verse 12. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with the others and treat us accordingly. Watch Daniel's tact here. He doesn't argue. He does right and lets wisdom prove itself. The official agrees, and God shows himself faithful. In verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. The official is convinced, and the boys get vegetables. Now, pause there. Have we found it? The secret to life change? We've seen decision. But it is not the moment that makes the man. That takes years. The substance of life is far more mundane, more routine. Verse 17 is sort of a transition verse, and for me, it is akin to a training montage. You know the movie scene where countless hours of schooling or athletic training pass by in seconds? But we all know that's where life happens. Life is not made of moments. It is the habits you keep that make the big moments possible. Life consists of habits. Watch Daniel's story. Watch his habits. Habits that began with a decision that was rooted in conviction. That's life change in three basic ingredients, so learn them well. Convictions, decisions, and habits. Cue the training montage, verse 17. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. 3 years of school, the boys grow up, most likely never to see home again. And after graduation, all the graduates are brought before the king. In verse 19, the king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. There's that phrase again, the king's service. Time to start work. political work, advisors. But don't miss the names, their Hebrew names. Their decision maintained the integrity of their identity. And in verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. There will be much to learn from our heroes about serving with integrity in a godless government, about serving God in an age of hypocrites and heathens. But first, where does character begin? Where does integrity take root? In the furnace? The lion's den? Or in the hearts of a few kids making a decision about something small to the world, but important to God? Read Daniel 1 and watch the final verse for an Easter egg. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Cyrus isn't the next king. He rules the next empire. In other words, our humble hero will outlive kings and outlast kingdoms.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.